And the clock out here, so any recalls coming back to order. At this time, we have our public hearing scheduled for 10:30. And this item 6A, it's 2019 refuse rate adjustment, i.e. garbage rate adjustment. It's a public hearing. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jim McCargue, Director of Solid Waste, Air Pollution Control Officer. We are here for the public hearing for the 2019 refuse rate adjustments. It's for year 12. at the August 27th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Supervisors, the board approved the refuse rate adjustments for franchise areas 1, 2, 3, and 3A as indicated in the R3 Consulting Group report. In addition, the Proposition 218 public hearing for refuse rate adjustments was set for today, October 22nd, 2019, and staff was directed to mail notices to all affected owners and customers. The August 27th, 2019 Board of Supervisors agenda item is included in your packet, and included within that is the R3 Consulting Group report. And in response to approximately 6,500 Proposition 218 letters mailed to affected customers and property owners, the county received 8 protests. And that was at the time this was written. The total is 9. There was one additional letter received, and that was attached as a separate letter to your agenda item. And the 8 letters are also, the 8 letters I previously mentioned are also included in your packet. And so the rate adjustments are as follows: Area 1, 5.88%, Area 2, 6.37%, Area 3, 6.64%, Pine Grove Transfer Station, 6.60%, and Buena Vista Transfer Station, 1.15%. The R3 report indicated that the reasons for the increase in the cost of waste services this year is, number one, due to diesel fuel, number two, costs which have increased dramatically in the last several years. The fuel cost index used for refuse rate adjustments increased 20.65% in 2018, and that's compared to an average change during the years 2013 to 2017 was a minus 7.69, so negative 7.69 over those years. The second reason is the change in the global recycling markets, and this has impacted rates. And for example, in 2018, ACES was receiving, I believe, around $5 a ton. They were paid $5 a ton for recycling delivered to the recycling processor. In 2019, ACES will pay $146 per ton of recycling delivered to the recycling processor. So that's approximately $151 a ton cost to the garbage company. So, and then I have some additional information included, and really, you know, it comes down to the regulatory environment. Increasing mandates has really impacted the cost to deliver waste collection and disposal and recycling services. And I want to point out that, unfortunately, more increases will be coming to Amador County in the future. Recent California legislation requiring the separate collection and landfill diversion of food waste, and also known as organics, will have a significant impact on the refuse rates in the near future. This, combined with the interruption of the global recycling markets, has resulted in a sea change in the cost of providing waste collection, disposal, and recycling. In spite of this regulatory environment in California, Amador County has seen a 17-year average annual refuse rate adjustment of only 3.51%. And then when you compare The cost of our services with other rural counties, Amador's are well within the norm for refuse collection, disposal, and recycling. And I've got two tables attached that illustrate both of those points. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. We also have representatives from ACES Waste Services here. We also have Mr. William Schoen from R3 Consulting Group present today. And I know we do have some members of the public that would like to speak as well.
I have a question, a couple questions on one. And Greg, you may want to chime in on this, but the letter from Gold Country Campground from the owner-operator of that campground cited a couple reasons why this should not be approved today. The first, I think, can be easily explained. He says the franchise service area number 3 have not been adequately informed or educated about the reasons for the proposed rate increase or the methodology used to support the increases. And I think that has been available to the public. Is that correct?
It has.
And the second is more a legal question, because ACES' application for the rate increase was submitted to the county after the deadline.
And that's speaking to the RAM, the rate adjustment methodology that we've used for a number of years. And in that methodology, originally we had a due date of, I think it was March 15th for ACES to submit to the county. However, since then, the Board of Supervisors approved a pushback of those dates because it was just too difficult to have all the data required for this these annual adjustments available. So the actual due date is not until, I want to say, June 15th. So that point, although at one time the due date in the rate adjustment methodology was March 15th, it has been changed by the Board of Supervisors and actually will be updated in, you know, future contracts with the company.
So the timelines as far as 218, though, have been followed?
Yes, they have.
Right. I met with Jim and Mike Colarusso to discuss his concerns. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We sat down, and we did explain the RAM methodology and provided some information about that, plus the fact that average rates had only increased about 3.5%. Do we actually have a board minutes when this pushback or rescheduling of the due date?
Yeah, we. I don't have it.
Can we identify
right now? But we could. We could identify when
that would be good.
Yeah.
So we did try to explain to him at that point, and we did about the RAM method, and that it was available, and it, and I guess it's been online for some time, and we did talk about the. He brought up the, I guess, the profit margin metric that we use, and competitive, you know, sending it out for a competitive bid, and we indicated that wasn't the case, that we were negotiating directly with ACES. So, but he is concerned. He runs a number of these campgrounds in parts of California. He's from San Diego County, and I think he has one in Santa Cruz, San Diego, and here in Amador County, and he was surprised that it was a little bit higher here than those other places, but I think that's probably because we don't have a landfill, an active landfill, the way some of those other counties that he has operations in probably do, and that probably brings the cost down because we're basically hauling most of our refuse out of the county, and that's really what the costs are.
Yeah, and I think it's important to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges. And that's why I put the 2019 refuse rate of comparison in there. And this is information I just received in the last week from my counterparts in these other counties. And you can see that Amador County is certainly not the highest as compared to other counties. And by the way, Mr. Colarusso is here today to speak.
Oh, okay, great.
You know, a question to you, Jim. The recycling cost has gone up substantially. And that's been reflected in these rates, correct?
Yes.
Now, what about if the amount of recycling that ACES, the amount of garbage, the recycling garbage drops way down and maybe the regular garbage tonnage goes up? Will we see a correlation and reduction in what's being charged? In other words, if they're taking in, say, just say easy numbers, 100 ton of recyclables, and they're taking in 100 ton of regular garbage
mm-hmm.
in their operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that number changes where all of a sudden they're taking down the key for wherever they're going. They're taking...
put it in the landfill instead of recycling.
They're taking 190 ton to landfill and 10 to recycling.
Yeah.
Is there going to be some adjustment made for the ratepayer?
Well, I think I would have either Mr. Schoen or ACES speak to those cost numbers, but I will say that if we do not recycle at the rate we have been, and instead we send our recycling to the landfill, we will then drop in our diversion percentage. And we will be out of compliance with state law. We will be at risk of compliance and enforcement from the state.
What's your diversion rate now, do you know off the top of your head?
63%.
What's the requirement?
50%.
So you got 13% leeway then?
The state goal is 75. So really, we're at a point in time when all jurisdictions in the state are striving to reach 75% to be in compliance with the state overall goal. But
then tell the state to permit and locate some recycling plants. I mean, yeah, you can't tell them that, but you can.
No,
we can request that.
I have told them. And, I don't.
Okay.
Then I usually don't get a response.
Two things. One person cited that... one of the city's rate is $29.64 per 64-gallon container, but she is paying in unincorporated $33.37 plus 50 cents county surcharge for the add-on for state regulations that we have to comply with. But I think that one's easy to explain, that cities have the economy of scale, that you're picking up at every resident, you're picking one up. If we went to universal waste collection, which we have resisted to this point, we might be able to accomplish getting the rates down. And we might have to go that way at some point. But a lot of people like that Saturday trip to the transfer station now. That may change in the future. Another person in Sutter Creek, and this is probably one ACES will have to answer, is that truck is not one of your two-compartment trucks, so she's asking why are they even recycling. I think that's because it's being sorted wherever it's being delivered, but ACES can probably answer that.
Yeah, I think ACES might be best to answer that question.
Yep.
Paul Molinelli.
Morning, Senator Fox.
Morning, Paul.
First of all, we have split body trucks. We still get complaints from people who think we're throwing it away, and we're not. It goes in a separate compartment. Not knowing where this particular person is who sent that letter that you were citing, I don't know if we have a split body truck there, or if we go, or she has plastic bags, which are commingled with garbage, and they are sorted at the transfer station, or we send another truck there. We have those three combinations.
You might want to get with Jim and look at that letter and identify who the person is so she can be responded to.
I'll let Jim finish.
Completed my presentation, so I'm more than happy to answer any additional questions.
Okay.
Jim, on the CPI, we're going away from the U.S. CPI to the San Francisco Bay Area. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that will have a slight impact on rates, but why it's more appropriate to go with the San Francisco Bay Area CPI?
Yeah. William, Mr. Schoen from R3 Consulting Group, I think can speak best to that.
Good morning, Board. William Schoen with R3 Consulting. I think the intent is to, with the index adjustment, in all cases, is to try to, as accurately as we can, mirror the change in those costs. And what's happened, a good example was last year when we did our detailed rate review, there was a significant increase because the index had not kept up with costs. So we had to, when we during the detailed review, we true up to actual costs. So the San Francisco index is generally a little bit higher than the one we've been using, but is also, we believe, is more accurately representing those specific costs. In fact, the industry is moving in many cases towards a water sewer trash index, which is even higher than the CPI, because, again, that is tending to track better to actual costs. So the reason is it's viewed as a better indicator of the actual costs that cost category is going to experience.
William, in dealing with the municipalities you deal with and looking at the impact from the state, there's really no sign of the state slowing down on putting new rules in force, is there?
No, I mean, we have 1383 now, which is a new organics legislation, which kicks in 2 years in terms of regulations. That's going to have a big impact throughout the state, and we're looking at substantial increases now with jurisdictions that are procuring services under a 1383 contract with rate increase, you know, the rates going up 30% to 50%. I'm not saying that's going to be the case here because there's other factors that had occurred in those cases, but it's another mandate that's unfunded and there is a cost, and that's just something the county's going to have to deal with. Now, I do believe you're eligible for a waiver for a period of time, but at some point that may expire, and then the cost would be.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Just for what it's worth, to Supervisor Forrester's question, I don't know this for a fact, but my personal opinion is that plastics may be the next item on the agenda for the state. Plastics, as we all know, are a big topic in the ocean, and plastic straws have become, you know, a taboo subject these days. It's just my personal belief that plastics may be coming.
Could you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that?
There may be a ban on plastics from the landfill.
Yeah. Well, it could be. Yeah. Certainly. Also, banned that people are, or jurisdictions are banning single-use plastic right now.
Yeah. But yeah. So I'm talking about what we are permitted to put in the landfill.
Right.
And organics.
Right.
Yeah. And plastics may be. That's just, again, just my personal opinion.
Well, we're starting to carry plastic straws with us when we're with the grandkids, because I can tell you paper straws don't work very well. They work for about the first couple minutes, and after that, they break down.
I got to confess, I'm confused. I don't understand how the plastic straws get out of our landfill in the ocean. Anyway, sorry, I couldn't help that. I think at this time I'd like to open the public hearing. Any members of the public like to address the board in this item? Morning.
Morning. Thank you for your time, supervisors. My name is Mike Collarusso. I'm the owner of Gold Country Campground. Also like to thank Frank and Jim for meeting with me a couple weeks ago and providing all the information. It was very, very helpful. Appreciate your time this morning. Couple things about the increase. The 3.3% or whatever it was over an extended period of time, that's certainly a reasonable number. One of the reasons I'm here today is because the increase in the last 12 months, if this most recent 6.64% increase is approved, will be 20.3% in a 12-month period. That is excessive and I think unacceptable to the people in Franchise Area 3. Second point, the application deadline. I understand it was moved and that they're in, and ACE is in compliance now to request the increase. But when the deadline was readjusted to give more time, did that compress the people's time to review and or protest the increase? So I don't know if that took away from some of the public's chance to review and or discuss and protest. The second thing, most importantly today for me, is the new contract. Jim has mentioned, you guys have mentioned that we're staring down the gun barrel moving forward of potential future increases, changes in laws from California, changes in what China will or won't buy, plastics and all these other things. So I think this is an unprecedented time in, as you guys have described, in trash collection and costs. And I think that this new contract should be viewed differently than in the past, both in the length of time that it should be approved for, particularly in a rapidly changing landscape, and in the types of provisions that should be incorporated into it that might not have been necessary in the past as it relates to all of these factors which we're going to be facing together in a world-driven economy now, and the shifting sands of this particular, you know, the waste management. So the questions I have about the new contract, is it already negotiated, and when is it scheduled to be approved? I haven't seen that. Was it sent out for competitive bid? That was in my letter. What is the length of the new proposed contract? What are the profit margins proposed for the new contract as they relate to the pre-established ranges? And I certainly think, given all of the forces and impacts that we are going to be facing in the future as far as pressure to push these costs up, which are outside of our control, outside of ACE's control. And by the way, ACE's does a fabulous job with the trash. No complaints there at all. Well-run company, as far as I can tell. Our costs are more expensive here than the other parks we own in California, and it's fairly significant, but there are other factors for that as well. But I do think it's a new landscape in this arena, and this new contract needs to be looked at very carefully. Maybe it needs to be shorter, given how quickly things are changing out there. I think the profit margins, maybe to offset some of these things, needs to be looked at very closely. Are there any cost-saving incentives for ACES to keep costs down? Maybe that's something that needs to be looked at that wasn't necessary in the past. And will this new contract provide, Frank and Jim told me that there were years that the trash collection rates actually went down. And does the new contract include that, for example, if gas prices go down or if something that China suddenly starts buying again? If those, you know, premises change, are the provisions in the new contract that would allow for these costs to be readjusted down? I don't blame any business for making a profit, and it sounds like the profit margins that ACE is requesting and that are certainly fair and they're pre-established. But the consumers, the residents, and the businesses in Franchise Area 3 and the other franchise areas, we don't have the luxury of a pre-established profit range. We're not guaranteed to make any profit. Between this and a lot of the other things that are going on, it's tough for small businesses, certainly upcountry here, to stay in business and to make a profit. And this is one of the big factors. Our trash collection currently runs. It's a big part of our budget. I won't specify exactly what it is. It's a big part of our budget. And if they go up 20.3% in 12 months, that hurts. We feel it at the bottom line every single month. And if we're looking at future factors that might drive these costs higher, I think this new contract is very critical and needs to be looked at very closely to maintain costs and keep them as low as possible for the consumers in Franchise Area 3. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Colarusson. I will say you've done a real nice job up there in your park. It looks good.
Thank you. Jim, do you think you can address a few of the questions regarding the contract? Will the new contract allow the rates to go down if warranted, as they have in the past?
I don't know that we can really discuss the contract.
Okay.
If you want to talk about it a little, I mean, it's not on the agenda. It's
okay.
It's related to ACES, but it's a completely different topic. The county is in negotiation. I don't know that there's anything finalized. The contract will come to the board. It will come to the board at a public meeting.
Okay.
And be discussed, and it'll be made public, whatever the draft is, so the public will have an opportunity to see it and comment on it. But if you want to give just a summary of where you are.
The contract is in an ad hoc committee of the Board of Supervisors, which was appointed, two members of the board. We have been meeting. We have been in negotiations. I think all the items Mr. Colarusso brings up are very good, topics, and all of those are on the table and have been discussed to some extent during these negotiations. So I expect soon that the ad hoc committee will meet. As a matter of fact, the ad hoc committee should be meeting in early November, and at that time I would expect that something shortly thereafter will come to the full Board of Supervisors and proceed that way.
I want to make one comment. I really appreciate the gentleman's thought process and comments, just really good comments. The one table that you have on page 21 in the packet, though, it really states it very well. Over 17 years, the average increase for all areas is 3.51% increase. That 13.66% increase in 2018 was probably somewhat of an anomaly, but it was probably driven by the previous years where starting in 2015, a 3.95, the next year a negative 0.48, the next year a 3.56. It's probably looking at it and trying to keep the rates low almost artificially so that next year really got hit hard. And then this year it's almost double what you were back in 17 and 15 because of the impacts of the diesel fuel, and especially the impacts because of the wall put up by China on the recycling and the tremendous impact there.
That's correct. And as Mr. Schoen had mentioned, we do the index adjustments, and then we do a detailed adjustments which does actuals. So those indexes are just used to approximate, what the increases or decreases may be. They're not always exact, and so then there is a need to true up, as you saw last year. But I think it's worth noting on that table you referred to, Supervisor Forrester, is in Area 3, 4 of 6 years saw negative adjustments. 4 of 6 years in Area 3, garbage rates went down. I mean, that is a very significant thing to mention.
Mm-hmm. Where's the requirement now for universal collection? It's in apartments or?
It's for commercial.
Commercial
so, and multifamily, you're correct.
So I see, the only way we're going to control rates in the future is by having, in the unincorporated areas, by having everyone's waste picked up, because when ACES picks up one house, and then skips two houses and goes to the next one, and skips three houses and goes to the next one, it just makes the rates stay artificially high. I know some people really like going to that transfer station on Saturday, but I think it's going to be a way of the past in the future.
Jim, you can probably answer procedurally. Mr. Colarusso asked about, because we moved the deadline date.
Right.
He didn't squeeze the 218 protest period. That's set by law, the number of days, right?
That's right. There was no effect on the public and the residents' ability to review and the noticing. As a matter of fact, the date change, I believe, was at least 2 years ago that occurred.
Okay, yeah, just for clarification on that point.
And I'm not sure if Mr. Molinelli would like to speak to any of the issues.
You know, one thing I would like to, I'd like to see a list going back, say roughly 5 years, and what vehicles were purchased by ACES or by their garbage operation, and how much those vehicles cost, you know, year cost, et cetera.
I think we have that information in our detailed review, but not with, yeah, but we
like,
do
yeah,
have.
I'd like to see it sometime.
We have had it okay. As part of our detailed reviews.
Garbage truck is $320,000.
Yeah,
I just and like we have five projected to buy in the next year.
Yeah, I'm asking about vehicles overall, not just garbage trucks.
Sure.
The whole cart thing's been the price, everything got out of sight. So
I would like to answer a question you posed, Supervisor Onetto. I asked Cal Recycle, what if someone asks me, why don't you just throw the recycling away? They have never answered me because I believe you can, as long as you don't go below the required diversion rate. I don't know that that's what anyone wants to do, but it would result in a savings.
Sure. And my question is, and hey, who gets the savings? Does ACES get it or do the ratepayers get it?
One other thing is that the profit margin that's addressed in the contract is an operating ratio. It's not the profit. The profit is another issue.
Yeah, but the question is, if there's a savings on the recyclables, who would recoup that? Would it be ACES or would it be the ratepayers in the wash?
Every the ratepayers. I mean, it just
yeah.
How it works.
It's captured in our rate adjustment methodology. So if there is a decrease in a cost to the garbage company, that then is reflected.
Would that be only in detailed rate review?
That's in
year?
The detailed review. That's when it's trued up.
What about the? Would it be every year or just that one year when you look at that snapshot?
It would be that year moving forward.
Okay, so years before it may not be captured then.
If there was some number of years before, the adjustments would be based again on the index adjustment.
And that works both ways, by the way, because we get adversely affected by the delay in the information full detailed analysis.
I mean, if you're in business and you realize this is the year it's going to be looked at to set your rates, I think that year might be done a little differently than other years, possibly.
Possibly.
Cost-wise.
Right.
Accountant's having a heartburn back there.
Wait a minute. I thought Mr. Supervisor Crew had a question.
Just a quick question, Paul. From, again, back to Mr. Colarusso's well-thought-out comments, a shorter-term contract is quite a bit more work for staff on both sides, but it sure would, in these changing environments, might be beneficial to both sides.
It'll be.
I don't know. What's the RAM was 5 years?
The RAM for the detailed review?
Yeah.
Once every 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fairly quick.
Sorry, David Button, Armenino. To answer Chairperson Onetto's question, and hello, supervisors. The RAM methodology looks at the change in disposal yearly. It's an actual cost built into the model. So the savings is directly, one year it changes, it goes right into the rates. That's why there's peaks and valleys in certain costs. We attempted to address all that to keep everything smooth. However, disposal is a separate carve-out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actual. So that's what goes straight to the
good.
Customers.
Cool. Thanks for
thank
the
you.
Public? Maybe more people from the public.
Yeah, Matt.
I was going to get there.
Okay. I didn't know.
Good morning, Board. Matt
morning.
From IO.
Morning.
I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm actually for the increase. I think it's responsible. They've taken losses in the past. They provide free service, pine needles. They're community service. They've been out there for us the whole time. I don't think they've ever tried to rob us. This is a very reasonable rate increase. we've had, what, 10 or less people complain about it in the county. I think that it's appropriate at this time to go ahead and approve what they're asking for. They're great neighbors, and they haven't done us wrong yet.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All I got to say. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I will say, along that line, someone's going to talk about it a little bit later, but I can't remember what community it was, which companies, one of the major garbage companies. I think it was like, I want to say they were tripling the rates of some community, and it was a real eyebrow raiser. I mean, they were just getting hammered. So that's the flip side of the coin. Some of these are going out to bid in some of these things.
Morning, Sheila Von Torek. I just got back from Ireland, and they are very similar to California in their huge drive to recycle. And my appeal to the board and to ACES is that what we're dealing with is customers and their handling of garbage. And so I would appeal that we would really strongly consider and push the state for recycled bins. In Ireland, every single shopping center, every single government building, everywhere are these huge bins, small openings for the same things here. They have waste, recycle, and I think they call it organic waste. Most of us shop at Costco. You've noticed that corporate at Costco has done the same thing. So the only negative that I have about this whole meeting is that I feel like the customer isn't considered here about their part. And yet, really, we're the ones that are handling the garbage and deciding what we do with it. And so the part that we're playing is just paying the money, when really each of us could take an active part in recycling. I know that's what the state's always pushing, teaching your kids and all this. And yet we're not given the opportunity to actually do it. So I live in an unincorporated area, and I recycle, and I ask for numerous bags. I was reported by my truck driver as being a problem because I put out too many recycled bags. So I called, and I don't know who I spoke to at ACES. They were fabulous. But they said, yeah, unfortunately, it has to do with the truck and all that. But I said, well, isn't there somewhere else that I could get extra bags and put it? I'm basically doing your job for you, and it's what we should do. And so they said no, and I said, well, what do I do if I have extra recycles? Just put it in your trash. So that's what we do, and then we get, oh, there's going to be a rate increase because, you know, we're having to sort it, or China. I don't understand all that. But I would just appeal to you that I think most people, I get this two generations back, my mom, my grandma, they always recycled. We didn't have to be taught by California. So I would appeal that we would really make more opportunities. And even your talk about going to the dump, and I've thought about that. I thought if I had a bin that said cardboard, a bin that said plastic, glass, you know, I would go down there and I would dump my stuff accordingly. That's when you're from the unincorporated areas, it's kind of how we function anyway. And so anyway, that would be my appeal. I don't really blame them either for the rate increase. It just bothers me that the answer is always to just charge the customer more. Instead of really appealing to the customer, how can we decrease the costs together?
Just a little clarification, Ms. Wontrek. What's happening is ACES can take garbage down. I'm just going to pull a number off the top of my head, probably $35 a ton to the landfill, Kiefer, one of them. When they take the recyclables down to the place they have a contract with, I don't think there's that many places to do it. They get charged, I think it's like $179 a ton. It's kind of a base rate, and then it can go up or down a little bit depending on what comes out of that garbage they sort. So base recyclables are probably costing 4 or 5 times as much to get rid of.
That's crazy.
But that's because, and what it is, the state's been, has done a lot of talk about recyclables, but like you talked to some of the companies that are trying to start either a new process or trying to do, whether it may be bioorganics or composting or sorting and recyclables, and they say it's hell on earth trying to get through the state permitting process. So states on one hand saying, go do this. On the other hand, they're saying, don't go anywhere. It's a pretty big problem. And China said, we don't want it.
because I thought, you know, as a county, we're a small county, we should always be looking for ways to bring business in and do things ourselves and cut costs. And yeah, I mean, why couldn't we do it ourselves? But yeah, the permit process and the nightmare
horrendous
coming down from California. But it's really unfortunate, and I don't know, I feel that we still should keep on that level too, instead of the answer always to be just pass more costs down, because, and especially Universal would be devastating for us out there. Wouldn't be for that at all. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of public?
My name is Kathy Adams, and the gentleman from the campground couldn't have done a better job of presenting all about that.
Yes, he did.
And covered all of the things that myself and my neighbors had to all talked about when we got the notice. When the notice came out, a couple of my neighbors who don't get involved in a lot of things, but you know, are on fixed incomes, and the first thing they come to me and say, "What does this mean exactly?" You know, and so that's how I got involved in this. And first, it was just the process; it was getting the information. In the notice, it said the stuff would be down at the on the back of it, be at the board. And I came down here, and it wasn't. And it wasn't at Waste Management either. And Mr. Argo was on vacation. And so I wasn't able to solve some of the problems of the information with my neighbors. But
what do you mean it wasn't available?
There was nothing at the board. There was the clerk of the board, and there was nothing at the Waste Management Department. And I later talked with him, and he forwarded to me a letter that came from the consultant group. And that all that did, I just made copies and gave it to my neighbors, and all that did was make my neighbors mad, because it's more bookkeeping jargon, and the rate, how the rates are calculated, and there was agreements made in the past that come up with this, and they just read it and they said, "Well, this looks like it's already been decided. Why did they send us this notice?" And there was no information that said, "Okay, last year we spent this much money, and this year we're anticipating to spend this much money, but we know we have some questions about there's going to be additional costs of this and that and the other thing." There was none of that to be able to even figure out what the hell the increase was for, because they just had in November, I think it was 14% or something like that. I can't remember the figure, but that had been increased. And while we're talking about it, we hear on the news that the governor signed this bill about waste and plastics and talked about the increased costs it was going to be to all the counties, and then we started asking, you know, questions. I wonder if this includes, did they guess what the state was going to figure it was going to cost each county? Is that included? And then I started doing some research and found out that the contract was coming up, and there just wasn't a lot of information passed along, and so it was hard to talk to my neighbors about this increase. And, you know, their bottom line was, it's going up by 20%, and if the governor signed this, if it's not included, it means that 3 months down the road we're going to get another increase. And so that, from that standpoint, is where my opposition came. Not that they weren't doing a good job in terms of the services that they provided, but that, and we have a lot of people in this county that are on a fixed income, and a 20% increase in a year is a lot for them. And then knowing that there's going to be more costs coming, it just brought up a lot more questions, is all it was. And I would recommend, because there's going to be so many more changes coming up in this next year because of way of disposal of all kinds of things, that maybe there could be some kind of a committee or some kind of group to look at all of the alternatives, because there's a lot of stuff at the state that the state is not doing in terms of the recycling. You know, and just like you said, you know, on one hand they're saying do this, and then the other side, well, we can't help you. And so that's got to be, you know, another obstacle that they have to encounter on a regular basis. And it's coming that we got to do something. I mean, it's there, you know. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Adams.
Any other members of public?
Jim, can you ask your question? One of the comment letters that came in talked about a senior rate. Is it possible to have a senior rate, or is that a constitutional issue that you can't charge a different class of people or different age of people a different rate than the body?
That has been a discussion that we've had here at the county over the years. And there has been some, I think, opinions that senior rates could be considered as discriminatory against people who are not of that senior age. So I don't know for sure if that's a legal issue, but I have heard that. But we have discussed a senior rate over the years, and as far as whether or not we would be able to implement it, I think we would need to look at it further.
Yeah, I would agree. We'd have to look at it closely. I think the issue is it could be problematic if it's sort of a subsidy, if they're getting if the rate is lower because of their status as opposed to the garbage that's generated. So if you're subsidized, if your neighbors are subsidizing other people, that's potentially problematic for the rates. And we just have to look at it closely.
Well, then you go to the amount. I've heard it said before that some seniors generate very little waste. So to ACES, is that 32-gallon about as small as you can go?
They have 20 gallons. We had in the county, I think we've discussed it before, a 20-gallon rate, which the then Director of Public Works, Gary Caldwell, for some reason didn't want it. But we had it. I called our toter company, the company that makes the carts. Do you have 20-gallon carts? He says, well, we have inserts. So we have a 32-gallon cart, and you put an insert. What he warned us about is people just take the inserts out after they got the right rate. So it's a problem, but it can be done. We initiated at one point, and I think we've discussed that, on-call service. Where if somebody does not have, and we started for weekenders, but then there were elderly people who would call and say, hey, listen, I don't make a lot of garbage. And even though going every other week contradicts the state law where it's required to be removed once every 7 days, we still offer that. So if somebody doesn't have a lot, they can call us that just when they have a full can. So those sort of things are available, but 20 gallons are available.
But Paul, picking it up and hauling it around is the biggest cost. So the 12 gallons difference, would that really make a difference in the cost to the consumer?
Well, it might be. I mean,
I'm thinking that the cost to pick it up is two-thirds and a third for the garbage, but I may be wrong. I'm just asking.
It costs us the same to drive that truck there. It costs the same whether you have 20 gallons or 96 gallons. The
right.
Difference is just in the disposal. So you're going to get a lower rate, and you might get less garbage. So does one offset the other? I don't know.
I don't think it'd be much difference, really.
It might be worth looking into, especially since we're coming into a contract year.
Plus, then you have to buy a whole bunch of new carts, and that'd go into the adjustment rate, too, and might actually raise rates a little.
How hard would it be to go every other week?
A what?
How hard would it be to go for somebody that doesn't produce very much for the every other week?
It's just, for us, it's a administration. They call us. We issue a work order to our driver. He picks it up. He notes in his electronic notebook that they all carry now. And
so they, you know, you could go for, you know, 3 weeks. You have a weekend or something like that.
Not legally.
Yeah. We don't question it. It's when they call us. They can go once a month. And go once every 2 months, whatever.
Isn't there kind of a
there can
as long as you don't run afoul of state, which probably wouldn't be a problem, I wouldn't think. But the state was every weekly; it's supposed to be done or something like that.
Once every petrucibles are required to be removed once every 7 days.
I get those are my dogs and my chicken. They're happy.
Okay. I just know in my area, you know, for somebody to hold the garbage for a while, they'll be attracting some friends. I reattracted this morning, had to clean up after a bear, but it'd be interesting.
Can I just take a little sidestep, if you don't mind? 1383 is a law that's in the final 15 days of comment, I believe, and that's almost closed. That's going to require that food waste is collected once a week from residential accounts, too. We've been exempted to some degree, and there's an opportunity for exemption, which you mentioned bears. The exemption now would be 4,500 feet or above, you would not have to have that service. 4,499 or whatever would be down, you would. However, there was a bear killed on Highway 88 at the cemetery, by your ranch road. Just the other day.
Where I grew up.
There was a bear. We have pictures of bears in Casey Ranchettes. There was a bear killed on Ridge Road. So, although to no avail, we told the state, well, that doesn't, why 4,500 feet? Why should we, we're getting bears, seemingly increased bear activity at lower elevations.
No, I'm at 3,200 foot in Mace Meadows area. My problem is I normally have a strap over top of my garbage can, and I took off my strap too early and decided to.
Got it. Could you imagine have food waste now?
Understand.
In cans. And by the way, we are looking at providing bear carts where they're needed.
That wouldn't raise rates at all, would it?
What?
Bear carts wouldn't raise rates at all, would it?
What? I'm sure there would be a cost attached to it.
In reality, just on a way side note, if you go about 4,000 feet above, it's really hard to find a deer anymore. You can't even find a track. And you're seeing a bear got hit in Pine Grove, one got hit down where I grew up. They're all over the place. If you start doing food waste, you're going to have a kind of a problem out there, I think.
Supervisor Onetto, I had that discussion, if not this morning, then yesterday, because I hunt deer. The Division of Forestry or whoever they are should reintroduce deer to Amador County, because you go in the high country, and I walk a lot. You don't see very many, but they're down here.
When you don't see a track, in the dirt in the high country, there's no deer or very, very few.
I concur, but there are a lot of deer in Pine Acres. Casey Ranchettes, all these subdivision, lower elevation.
They all come to my neighborhood.
The bears and the mountain lions
follow.
Yeah, and what's happened, the deer are kind of gone up country, so the bear are coming down low. They're looking for food, and it's going to be a lot of bears. So, yeah, if you start doing food waste, you're going to, I think, have a real problem trying to, in the communities with bears really moving in. But anyway, we're getting off a side note. So
I like talking about deer and bears, but why don't we finish this public hearing?
I just said we're getting off a side note. So
he asked if he could sidestep. So.
Any other members of the public? With that, need a motion to close the hearing?
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Make a motion, yeah.
I would motion that we approve the 2019 rate adjustments, effective date November 1st, 2019.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Not saying I like it. I do understand that the costs are going up, and I think it's something that really, ACES should really, I think they work pretty hard at it. They look even a little harder so you can keep those rates down, because there's a lot of things coming at us from the state cost-wise. And
yeah, I think the RAM methodology is a kind of a fair and objective way to adjust rates up and down, and clearly they've gone in both directions. This is a high one, and we're going to have to keep an eye on this as we go forward.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim and ACES. That was the last item, so at this time the board is adjourned until November 12, 2019 at 9 o'clock a.m. Closed session begins at 8:30 a.m. Thank you.